And for more of the latest tech news, we're joined, as we are most Mondays, by Omar Gayaga. He covers technology culture for the Austin American Statesman. Omar, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And we've been talking about portable gadgets. We're going to talk about another one now, the Motorola Droid smartphone from Verizon, which came on the market recently. And you've been fiddling around with it. What do you think?
Yeah, I've been playing with it a little bit over the weekend. That's the Droid phone saying hello.
Wow.
They've really positioned this as sort of an iPhone killer. They want it to kind of go head-to-head. And I use an iPhone, so I've definitely seen what's good and what's bad of it so far. Definitely on the pro side, if you're someone who wants an iPhone and have been on the fence because you need a physical keyboard, it does have that, although I kind of hate physical keyboards. I find the keys to be way too small for my thumbs, and I end up being much more efficient typing on a virtual on-screen keyboard. The navigation stuff, Google Maps Navigator is included in this, and it's very, very good. It's a turn-based navigation that kind of rolls in Google Maps, gives you street-level views. The Verizon network, you know, a lot of people think it's much better than AT&T's network. So on that score, I mean, I didn't experience any dropped calls or any network problems. The 3G holds up very solidly no matter where I was. I think the phone design itself is a little bit ugly. It's kind of a black slab sitting on top of another black slab with gold accents, which, you know, it's a very kind of masculine metal dense in your hand kind of feel, not curvy like the iPhone. So I think it's definitely a good alternative to the iPhone. If I were shopping for something outside of the iPhone universe, that would probably be my first choice. And the Android software is very well integrated with Gmail, Google Calendar, and a lot of the services that I already use. So I found some good and some bad on the Droid.
Let's talk about another piece of technology. This one's not out yet. I guess it's supposed to hit stores just before the holidays, and it's from Dell. It's calling it the world's thinnest laptop. What does it have to offer besides a little more room in your backpack or your laptop bag, do you think?
It is the Dell Adamo XPS is the name of the laptop, and this is sort of the second generation that Dell has introduced of this line of laptops. They had one in March called the Adamo, and this is sort of the next generation of that that they took under wraps last week, and I got some cuddle time with it, as I like to call it. I got to kind of play around with it. It's very, very thin. I mean, it's similar to the Apple MacBook Air in that it's just very, very light. I think it's just a little over 3 pounds. It's 9.99 millimeters thick. There's no latch on it physically. The way you open it is you actually run your finger across it, because they said just having a latch on there like a normal laptop would have just made it too thick. So there's some very interesting design things going on. And Dell, you know, in the past was not known as a very design forward kind of company, and they're really kind of pushing the envelope on that. It all sounds good so far, but the downside is that it starts at $1,799,
yeah,
which is very much out of the range of most laptop buyers. And it also is not as powerful as laptops you could get for half the price. I mean, they definitely had to be some sacrifices on speed and power in order to fit all that in there. There's no optical drive. You'd have to get that separately if you wanted a CD or DVD drive in there. But for someone that just wants to carry that around and has money to burn, there's definitely, I think, a market for that. But I think design-wise, it's very interesting, something cool to watch.
Well, before we let you go, Omar, we wanted to talk to you about a little bit of tech culture. Disney is going to be using a video game to help reimagine one of its most beloved characters. The game is called Epic Mickey. What can you tell us about it?
Right. This is one that's kind of close to my heart, because the development of it is happening here in Austin. There's a game designer named Warren Spector, who is kind of a legend in the game industry. He's creating this game where you're playing as Mickey Mouse. And the character, which has become kind of stale over the years, I guess you could say.
No, Omar, say it's not so.
Well, it's kind of a darker take on Mickey Mouse. And Warren Spector, who's a huge Disney fan, he kind of grew up on this stuff and is obsessed with it. He wants to kind of take Mickey back to his roots, where he was more mischievous. And the game itself is going to be for the Wii, and you will actually be controlling Mickey and sort of painting this world and using paint thinner to kind of build and erase the world around you. And the concept is very interesting. It's this sort of cartoon wasteland where these forgotten Disney characters have kind of grown bitter over Mickey's success. Very interesting take on Mickey Mouse. So we're curious to see how that turns out. It'll be out fall of 2010.
Okay, Omar, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. And we will, of course, have links to all of these items on the NPR All Tech Considered blog at npr.org/alltech.
Omar Gayaga covers technology culture for the Austin American Statesman and for All Tech Considered. This is NPR, National Public Radio.